Good evening. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." There was a plague in Israel. And though there had been many before it and there would be many after it, this was a specific plague, a plague of ignorance. A plague of ignorance upon a people who had been given the Word of God, who had been allowed to an understanding of God as they had it in the Old Testament. It's not that they didn't have the Bible. It's not that they didn't have the Scriptures. It's not that they didn't have parchments with the law recorded and teachers of the law available. It was because they lacked the desire to know the Lord. It's because they desired to know other things more than they desired to understand and to know God Himself. We have this opportunity tonight, as we have so many nights, as we have so many days, to know the Lord. But so few people in this world know the Lord. Even those claiming to know the Lord, most do not know the Lord. And they prove that, as we look there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, that though they profess to know God in their works, they deny Him. There are plenty of people in the world who say that they know God, but in works deny His very existence with their very actions. Isaiah chapter 45 is our text this evening. Isaiah chapter 45, starting in verse 18, God talks about knowing Him. An opportunity for us to get to know God. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, it says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. I have spoken it. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved images and pray to a God that cannot save." I know a lot of people, but I don't know a lot of people. I know a lot of things about John Wayne, but I don't know John Wayne. I know many of you, none of you as well as I would like to know you. The two ways that we use the word know, that you can know facts about a person. Now I know where Brian works. I know where most of you live. I might know your favorite color. But all of those things aren't all that important in the relationship of knowing a person. If I only knew my wife's favorite color, her favorite cookie, her favorite type of cake, all these desserts are very important to a woman, I understand. If I knew a whole lot of facts about my wife, that would be good. But knowing my wife is far more important. We know a lot of things about God, but we do not know Him oftentimes as we need to. The Jews knew a lot of things about God. But whether it was because of their forgetfulness, because they intentionally ignored them, or because they were walking away from Him to other gods, they were being destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they had rejected knowledge. And because of that, God was rejecting them as priests. This, my friends, is a lesson to all of us. As we are priests of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, of a better covenant that they experienced, we have a greater responsibility to knowing the Lord We've been given significantly more to understand the Lord. And so it should be used to our benefit, that our relationship with the Lord would be even greater than theirs could have been. Who is God? All of these things are not questions. They're not questions at all. Verse 18, "For thus says the Lord," the Lord, who created the heavens? Not who created the heavens. The Lord who created the heavens. He is that one who created the heavens. He is God who created, verse 18 there. The beauty of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament writers is paramount. It's just amazing, isn't it? The way they describe things. And we have to recognize the inspiration involved in those things. He says that He created all things. He created the heavens and He formed the earth. Everything. Everything in existence was created by God. Now, I can probably, and I put the emphasis on probably, build a house. If you give me blueprints, understanding, right, how to read the blueprints and do the things that I'm supposed to, and materials, I might very well be able to put a house together. God created the heavens and the earth. And let's see how He did it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made, or were not made, of things which are visible." The God of heaven and the earth, when He created the worlds, when He created the heavens and the earth, He did not create them from things that are visible. When He called the light out of the darkness, it appeared. When He created the heavens and the earth, there was nothing before it. I might be able to put a house together if you give me a blueprint, the skills needed, and the materials. God doesn't need the materials, He says. He says, keep the materials. I'll build it out of nothing. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, He says, "God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." God says, I don't need blueprints. You know, I can get a chair. I can grab this chair right here and I can go to the hardware store and I can buy the materials for the chair and I can look at the chair and I can say, this is what I want to build, and then I can try to build it. And it probably wouldn't look anything like what is there. It might not even be able to be sat in. But I could give a good attempt. God says, no one showed me before how to build the heavens and the earth, and yet I did it. But He didn't do so just so that to show it could be done. And we see there, back in verse 18, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, He says, "Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain?" And He proves that by saying, "Who formed it to be inhabited?" When He created the heavens and the earth, it wasn't just to be a show. It wasn't just to be some experience for people. It was that there would be somewhere for individuals to dwell. Man, whom He would create later on, needed some place to live. Some place to dwell. Not to just drift out in nothingness. And so He created the heavens and the earth, for which man inhabits. He created them for a purpose. He says, "Who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other." And there is no other. He is not the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is God who created the heavens and the earth. And we need to make that distinction. We don't live in a time where people believe there are multiple gods here in America for the most part. And I have to make both of those, I have to say both of those things, don't I? Here in America, for the most part. Because in other countries, you still have polytheism. You still have people believing that, sure, they can have the God of the Bible and you can have the God of the Torah. Some people believe it to be the same God. Totally not. And you've got people who believe in Buddhism or Hinduism or on and on and on and on and on and on and on. He is not the God who created the heavens and the earth, as if in the Greek society you had Zeus, the king of the gods. You had the god of Hades. You had the god of love. You had the god of... No, He is God. He says there is no other. So He is not the God who created, He is God who created. Just as Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, when he created, he achieved some goal. He didn't do it in vain, he says. He did it to be inhabited, but he also did it as a proof to those who would dwell there. A proof of what? Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Because what may be known of God is... I just read that. Verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God, who created the heavens and the earth, is also God who revealed Himself. Not only through those works, but notice back in Isaiah chapter 45. He says, "I am the Lord, there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth." Now, to make this more of a metaphor, think about God as a parent. Which isn't a far stretch. He calls Himself the Heavenly Father, sure. Now, if I went to our room, right, and I closed the door, and I made the kids go into the other side of the house, and I whispered a command to them, could I expect them to do it? No, not at all, because they didn't hear what I was saying. It's not like I'm expressing it to them. He says, "I did not reveal myself in such a small way." Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says, "Everyone who has existed on this planet," which is everyone who has existed, "everyone who is responsible to me as God, has been witness to proofs that I am God. That they are," he says, "without excuse," verse 20. He's eternal power and Godhead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. "I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." God gave the Old Testament for many reasons, some of which to help people understand sin and the problem of sin. The nastiness of sin, sure, and all of those ideas that come together. But he says, one of the reasons those prophets spoke in prophecy of this coming time was that they were ministering spirits in a way, and that the Holy Spirit moved them to talk about things that would not happen in their time, but would be fulfilled in Christ in your time and in our time now, you and I, that we would understand what God has revealed. The things that God has made known. Not only His eternal power and Godhead, not only that He is God and there is no other, but now He has revealed His plan. He has revealed His plan to us that we might have eternal salvation, right? That we might have the salvation He speaks of. He says, receiving, verse 9, "the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul." He says, you want to know how to save your soul? I already told you. And guess what? I'm going to tell you again. "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully." He says, the prophets were even interested in this. They're saying, well, how is he going to do it? Well, when is he going to do it? What's going to happen in regards to it? And they had very limited understanding. God had revealed a certain amount to them, and as they go on and on, they had more and more information. to the degree that even when Christ came on the scene, some people said, this guy's the Messiah. They'd obviously seen the revelations. They'd seen the prophecies. They'd understood what God had revealed through the prophets. All those things that the prophets had inquired about. But what does he end with? That even the angels desire to look into. They wanted to understand this. We don't appreciate that enough, folks. Put yourself back in Isaiah's place. Put yourself back in Ezekiel's place, in Jeremiah. Put yourself back in Daniel's place. Not just in the culture of the time, but you've got this understanding of sin through the Old Testament. And you've got this promise of a Redeemer, but you have no Redeemer at the time. You have no Christ. You have no Messiah. And they have, just as we do in a lot of ways, to trust in the Lord that these things would work out. As He has shown them that things do work out when they trust in Him. But we fast forward 2,000 years, or for some of these individuals, 1,500 or 2,500 years. We're looking at the culmination of all these things. We can sit in the 21st century and we can say, hey, we understand this now, or at least should understand this now. Have the possibility of understanding the mystery of Christ. And yet we squander it. Though God has revealed Himself to us in a more perfect way than those of the past. And sometimes we chastise them for lack of faith. And we have that same lack of faith, and we have more information. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Not only does He pick up back what we talked about earlier, that God made the worlds. He made the heavens and the earth. But that He has revealed these things not only through the prophets to the fathers, but going on to the people of Israel and now to us through Christ. He is our message. He is the message of God revealed to us. John chapter 14. Excuse me. John chapter 14 and verse 7. He says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also, and from now on you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show me the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, Messiah, Christ, Savior, is the manifestation of God on the earth. He is God's perfect revelation. You want to know what God would do in such a situation? You look at the things that Christ did. Deuteronomy chapter 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are some things God does not benefit us with understanding. And it might annoy us, it might drive us crazy that we can't know. But ultimately, those things that the Lord keeps to Himself, those things that He keeps secret, are His. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things, He goes on, which are revealed, belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And though we do not live under the Old Testament law, the Lord has revealed all these things to us, not only in the Old Testament, but the new revelations that we've had in the New Testament, the fulfillment of this understanding of the mystery, that we might do His will, that we might fulfill the law of Christ, the law that God intended from the beginning, that we might be saved through it. Why would He reveal Himself? God, who created the heavens and the earth, all things, without any building materials, without any plans, without being told how to do these things, constructed the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them, has revealed Himself to us for what purpose? To what end? God. Because He is God who wants to be found. He says, I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. He didn't tell the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain, that it would come to no effect, or if you change where the apostrophe goes, which is a question. Seek me. He didn't say to Jacob, seek me, but I didn't mean it. He doesn't call us to search him out in order to watch his minions shuffle around aimlessly and yet hide himself and his true intentions. He has not only revealed himself, but he reveals himself for the purpose of getting us to understand who he is and to come to his son. He says, I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Notice how he goes on, though. Assemble yourselves and come. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, he says. It is God's desire that we might discover, pursue, and find him. The Lord God does not force himself upon us, but he does make himself known that we might find him and in him find salvation. Find that level of hope that his son has made available to us. He has revealed himself for that purpose, that we might find him, that we might seek him out. Pursue him and inevitably find him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We know that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yet we do not always pursue him. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. He says, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He says, Christ died outside of the city. And he makes reference to the two animals that were sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. And he says, this city, he's talking metaphorically, this world, you could say. He could say this city he's sitting in right now, but ultimately the world is perishing. It's being destroyed. And we seek an everlasting city. We seek a more permanent city. We seek the one city where we all should go. And we have that opportunity through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through God who created the heavens and the earth, revealing himself that we might be found. Who is God? Well, in a nutshell, he is God. He is God who created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them, reveals himself that we might find him. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what a magnificent sermon he gives here on the Areopagus. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. And we'll end for this evening. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Notice our theme running through this. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. The Lord God, who created the heavens and the earth, and he says, and all things that were in them, who revealed himself in so many ways, so many various and sundry ways the Lord has revealed himself, that we might seek him, that we might grope for him, that we might find him, that the Lord is not far away. We have this opportunity this night to serve God, who created the heavens and the earth, who reveals himself to us, and who wants so desperately for us not only to discover him. Many of us know the Lord. But do we know the Lord? Do we pursue the Lord, seek him out, and inevitably find him? If your desire this night is to seek the Lord, to seek his will in your life, to do it, you can this night. Whether it is to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to return to God through Christ's blood, or if you need the help or the prayers of the congregation to continue on your pathway, you have only to ask this night. You have only to ask and pursue the Lord. May we all do so each day of our lives. I pray, whatever you need, that you would come as we stand and as we sing.